This is the day God has made. And actually, it's dawning evening right now, but this is the evening God has made. And the word says, I will rejoice. So I will rejoice and be glad in it. I have a guest here with me today, and there's a couple fun dynamics. Number one, I've known Steve. We've known one another for probably 20...
About 21 years.
I think. That's a long time. And that says a lot about you, that you hung around me that long. But it's great to have Steve. Steve's a producer, director, writer. I mean, you've done a lot of things. You've been in the world of movie making and script writing, and you know pretty much the ins and outs of everything to do with that world. And I think you probably touched it on just about every corner that there is. And this is what's interesting, what's fun to me, or for me tonight, is I invited you to be a guest with me, invited Steve to join us tonight.
And it's quite an honor. I'm so appreciative to be here. And those 20 years that you've sown into my life, is you could have co-writing credit on a lot of stuff I've written, because the words of truth that God has used you to sow into me has affected everything I do, and I'd never be the same without it. So
it's
such a joy and an honor to be here.
And that wasn't scripted. I didn't tell him to say that, but thank you. So let's talk about that credit later. But anyway, this is what's fun tonight. I asked Steve to join me, be my guest tonight, and I didn't tell him what we're talking about. I didn't say, you know, typically is what, you know, where are we going to be? You know, what are we going to be talking about? So I said to you, I'm not telling you.
No.
And I did that on purpose because I want to see how anointed you really are. I did do it on purpose because the word says that the Spirit will lead and guide us where we're to go. And as you know, life, you know, we have a lot of expectations as to what we want to happen in our lives. I mean, everyone does, whether you're a professed believer or not. And you being in the world that you've been in, it can be an exciting, creative, powerful world, but it can be kind of crazy too, and a lot of uncertainties from all the dynamics that wrap around it, because there's so many different people, different ideas trying to come together to make something one. So you can't, you have a lot of ideas to create a film, but it's not one person typically doing that. So it's a kind of a big, it can be a big mind war, right?
Yeah.
I mean, would you say that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have everyone's got different visions. Everyone's got different agendas sometimes, and just even good ideas. It's, you know, this saying, you know, you can have too many cooks in the kitchen, and they could all be fantastic cooks, but if you have too many, it becomes a real challenge managing that all. And so I think that's the same in any creative endeavor, especially filmmaking, versus, say, being a novelist or even, you know, writing a sermon, let's say, where you can kind of sit down singular, listening to God. It's not a whole bunch of people, you know, putting stuff
in your ear.
A movie. Yeah. A movie, you need to have lots of people involved, and you don't want to discredit everyone's creativity, because you want to be able to build off that in ways, but also stay singular to a vision. And that's the challenge that's really fun about it too.
Okay, and that plugs into what we're doing, because we're talking about the mind.
Awesome.
The mind, the carnal mind, the spiritual mind, and where those, you know, how those play together, because we live in a world of creativity. God is creative. He created us in his purpose, in his image, in his likeness. That was his design. And how multifaceted is God? You're talking about all the creativity and different people that come together, that conglomerate, that somehow at some juncture have to become one. You know, you have to bring those ideas together, and that's life. That's the world we live in. You know, what's the old saying? The world is a script, and you know, everyone plays their part. But if you don't know your part, and I've been involved with you, I've watched when you're creating and doing. And I just, what was in my heart regarding you was, number one, don't tell him, because pull on his anointing, call on his anointing and his gift, which is in a moment to think and solve or resolve an issue. But it requires a sound mind to do that. And I know, you know, ideas and thoughts around you can do one of two things. Either it kind of ignites that creativity on the inside of you, or it can kind of stifle it, shut it down. And that's where arguments, contention, things can come in any aspect of our lives. So this isn't about, it's not about movies, but it's about a guy, you, that thinks creatively but has to deal with a world. You create a world of chaos when you make a movie. Would that be an accurate statement?
100%. Yeah. It is creating a world of chaos.
But out of chaos, what happens when everything comes together?
You create something that's hopefully moving, something that's magical, something that is, you become singular in its vision out of that chaos. And so that's, I see a lot, and I think where you're going in a lot of ways is I see a lot of, you know, following the nature of God in working this out, and the faith of seeing things that aren't, and then of finding the best in everyone else to come together to create something.
So perfectly said. So you can go to bed one night and go, man, what am I going to do? You know, everyone's, you know, where it's not coming together. And you can do one of two things. You can either fight what feels like the resistance, or you can find a way to incorporate or be creative enough to even elevate that individual's. Maybe that idea they have isn't going to, and it's the same thing in life. You know, whether it's business, in the creative world of business or filmmaking or writing or directing or producing, or, you know, I have friends that have all kinds of businesses that wrap around all kinds of creativity and things that are, you know, certain aspects that see as just me. You know, today in our world, after the COVID flash, so many people are working from home and they're learning to come together in new ways. But this is where I want to go, the mind. The word says, and I'm reading out of Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to begin with, I'm going to start at the beginning, verse 1. So Romans 8, verse 1. How do you keep a sound mind? How do you stay at peace? How do you stay on point when there's so much chaos and so many different ideas around? And you know my heart, prophecy. How do you hear from God and know it's God and then move in that direction even if you don't see it coming together? And you know, is it going to come together? The word says, and maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I'm missing something because it's not happening. You've probably never been there, but
never.
You know, there's some people that have. And Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And we think about the law of sin and death as just I did wrong and, you know, Jesus came and he saved me and I keep fighting with that, doing wrong and doing right. But there's much more to that. It says for what God did, what the law could not do, and that the law was weak through the flesh, and it couldn't do the things that God wanted. But God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements, or the law of the Spirit, might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And I'm going to finish off. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set your mind on the flesh is death, but set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the carnal mind, the natural mind, those that set their mind on the things of the flesh is hostility to God, and it does not submit to the will, life, law of God. Indeed, it cannot. But those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But thank God that we're not in the flesh. The word goes on, but we walk in the Spirit. But here's the thing. So chaos comes in your world or my world or a businessman's world or a homemaker, whatever it is. So we're being, you know, it's just something's going wrong, it appears. Something's going wrong, and that's what we think about. Something's going wrong. But what's always empowered me to share a lot of what I've said is, and I've been saying this a lot, God, his ways, my God, his way is perfect. And then you've heard me say this many times, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them. So the battle, according to the scriptures here, if you want to call it a battle, the hesitation, the compromise, the condemnation, it really isn't that something's going wrong. The word says it's where you're setting your mind, what you're listening to. And I found, you know, you listen to someone, you know, as a minister, prophetically anointed, my heart, my mind is always to fix an issue. I'm kind of a fix-it guy. I've always been that way. Sometimes I drive people crazy because I want to find the answer. Yeah. And sometimes people just want to talk about the issue. And sometimes in their mind, they need to do it. But my mind gravitates immediately to the answer. What is the answer? What is the answer? And I believe that's part of that prophetic dynamic of mine. But in the world we live in today, with the uncertainty, there's a lot of uncertainty. How do I deal? How do I keep peace of mind? How do I move forward? How do I take advantage of this time? Because the Word says we live by faith. And I set my mind on the things of God. So my thoughts, people think, well, it's the devil, or it's just the bad people in the world, or, you know, it's the negative people trying to destroy our economy or destroy our nation, our world. And I'm not saying that there aren't people out there that are doing that, but there's something so much higher than that. And the Word says to set our mind on the things of the Spirit is where the answer, it's where the creativity comes from. Again, reflecting back on last Wednesday, we're not missing anything. We're complete in everything. And so where do you put your mind? Where would we set our mind if things are just chaotic and you can't seem, because a lot of people are like that. I don't know how to think. I don't know how to think about how to get from here to there. I don't know how to set my mind on things above. So your creative passion and working through all these nuances and differences of people and coming together and then making one singular motion picture or one script where everybody says, I like it, and everybody signs off and we're good to go. Same thing in life. It's our life is a script that God has written. He's given us the Word and He's teaching us how to come together in this chaotic world. So in from your anointing, how you do what you do, how you make your living, how you impact people, you move them. I say all the time, we're making heaven restless. How do we do that? And from what's helped you?
Well, I think boiling down a summation of so much of what I've learned under you over the 20 years, the 5 years, since we're not old enough to know each other for 20 years, right? It is actually, you know, in a lot of ways, all things work together for good. Boils down to you had the phrase, everything's a setup. And realizing that everything in life is a setup, calling on our faith, calling us to know God in a way we wouldn't otherwise know Him. And understanding then within that He's given us, as you were talking about from last night's talk or last week's talk, that He's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness, that we're lacking in nothing. So therefore, the situations that I've learned to come through, and again, it wasn't, I used to be, you know, you'd see these challenges and you'd go, okay, the enemy's out to get me, you know, that, and I get that a lot to this day. The idea that, oh, you create films and television that's, you know, furthering the kingdom and that kind of stuff. You must be always under attack and all that. And it's like, you know, I'm not at all. Does that mean that my projects go well? Doesn't mean they go well either. But that's because it's a setup. And I think putting your mind to trust in Him and that His purposes are so much bigger than our own purposes.
Yeah.
And that I used to think that it was about, if God, if you would just help me make this movie and this movie could, you know, reach 100 million people, think how we'd change the world.
Right.
And that's a noble thing. And there's lots of people with whatever your endeavor, whatever your calling, whatever your business, your ministry, whatever. It's like, God, just think if you could use me, if this could happen, you could use me and I could change the world. Well, I think God's got the change in the world part down pretty good. You know, like, He can do it with or without us. He desires to use us.
He can.
But it's more about what is our relationship to Him as we're walking through everything that we're walking through and the people that we're dealing with. I can remember really specifically working on a project a number of years ago that, again, this was going to be the breakthrough project that was going to put us all on the map. It was going to make me famous, but it was going to make the name of Jesus famous too, and things like that. And it was a nightmare. Everything that went wrong on this project, and we're filming overseas, and problems with the director at the time I was producing and had written this one, and it was like I wanted to step in and I could have fixed it and I could have made it right. And you actually, I remember talking to you one night, and we were on different hours because I was overseas, and you said, you know what, you could certainly step in and you can take over and you can make it the way it needs to be, but is that why the situation is that way in the first place? What if instead you saw this as an opportunity to recreate the way you think, the way God's mind is put in you, into this other person making the film. Wouldn't that then result in not just a better film, but then a better person that then moves on and can affect other people? Isn't that, and I remember he said, isn't that what Jesus does with us? And he trusts us that if Jesus just wanted the world a certain way, he could make it exactly that way right now with a snap of his fingers. But that's not the world he wants to create. No. He wants us, he wants to recreate himself in us to think like him, and that we might sow that into others to then also think like him. And I think that's the reframing in my mind that's helped me face all the challenges that I ever got through. And
what God's doing In your mind,
and learning how to see it now, it's not about being result oriented.
Yeah.
The same thing, I know you've spoken about this on a number of occasions regarding prophetic words too, you know, and it's when things don't come upon the timeline that we expect them to, and that it's not about ultimately at the end of the day, really, God's heart and his desire is to bring those things to pass, but it's about the change of our mindset of how we think about him, how we think about our destiny in him, and how we believe and walk that out is the thing that matters most to God, because that's what's shaping us and that's what he's calling us to be beyond those things. And so sometimes he used to talk about the idea of, you know, just prophecy being candy, God dangling this candy before us. And again, not because he doesn't want to do all these things he's promised, but it's a way of gaining our attention, not for those things, because most of those things are temporal things anyways. Even if it's a job, even if it's a station in life in the scheme of eternity, those are still temporal versus his purposes inside of us. And so whatever those are, they're all just a means of getting us to look to him and to live our lives in the kingdom now through how we perceive
in the kingdom now. And that's the word tells us, it says, set your mind on things above. So for the most part, whether it's a movie or business, family, health in your body, whatever it is, if I could only get that. But this is what God did. Number one, he created a world that now, and for a long time, people have said it's an imperfect world and no one's perfect. And you've heard me talk about this because it's something God showed me. And we see all the imperfections of life and yet talk about a perfect God. But when we do that, we bring such a divide between who we are and who he is. And like you said, well, maybe I'm being attacked by an enemy or the enemy or whatever it is or something. But if you say, again, reflecting on last Wednesday, I'm complete. In all things, it's what God's wanting to do in you that he's allowed you to address things you can't fix. And that's what we feel. What we can tend to feel helpless when we can't fix it. Moses looking at a sea saying, there's nothing I can do about this. There's way too many of them. They're way more prepared to fight. Same thing with David and Goliath. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And this is the key. It's the other side. It's the other side of what you don't see. God said, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he would direct your path. And the scripture I think everybody loves is God wants to do exceeding abundant and above all I know to ask or think. So God, if you just take care of this, but we're almost undermining our own faith in prayer because we just said he's going to do more than I know to ask or think, but I'm trying to tell him what I'm thinking and what I'm asking him to do, thinking that that's a resolve. When God's ways, he said, my ways are higher and deeper and my thoughts beyond you. And he didn't say, so we're going to keep it that way. He said, I want to reveal it. And it's those, James says, count it all joy when you enter into the trying times, knowing the trying of your faith works out and makes you perfect, complete, wanting nothing. And that's so true. And so he said, be completely excited. But I see something even beyond that. If the point of James 1 is to that our faith is tried, so we come to completeness, what if we think more completely in the beginning? Could we escape, or could we kind of overstep or go beyond? And that's what prophecy is about, going beyond that moment and seeing the way God wants you to see it, regardless of what you see today. That's the future. So if we keep living today over and over and over, and I know there's movies out there like that keep trying to, after a while, it's just like, this is no fun. You know, there's no call and no draw on my faith, but it's what God wants to do that we're not aware of. Number one, we live in a perfect world. That's what I say. And you may say, well, I'm not perfect. No, your design is perfect. Your call is perfect. Your God is perfect. Your purpose is perfect, so how imperfect in the scheme of things or in God's creative mind are we? Well, according to him, we are complete in him, which means perfect and sound, wanting nothing. And it's that mind of I don't want anything. I don't need anything. God, show me what you want to do through this vessel and help me feel complete. Help me feel sound. I am sound. How do I get there? I'm going to thank you for the soundness of my mind. When we sat down here a few minutes ago, you said something, and I just said, he's cueing the whole service here without even knowing it. You said that you were talking about having a song loop in your mind.
Yes.
And that, and we've all been there. And I went, oh, that's a, I'll employ what I know about the word next time something like that happens. But we've all had that where that a song or a thought just keeps going over your head. And it's like, well, I'm going to say this, and maybe they'll say that, or I'm going to say this. And you said, you've had songs just loop, and you can't get it to stop.
Yeah.
You can't bring your mind to rest. You're and instead of thinking about maybe something else you should be thinking about, you said that loop just keeps going and going.
Yeah.
But you said you found an answer.
Yeah.
And what is that?
And the answer was, actually, my wife shared it with me, and it was that they say, if you actually sing the song to completion.
To completion.
It's like your brain is putting it on loop because it wants completion. It wants it to be finished. It wants it to come to the full. And we end up just rehearsing, you know, whether it's a verse or some annoying chorus, or sometimes it's good songs, sometimes it's bad songs. But if you will sing it from the beginning to the end, if that's possible, that sense of bringing it to completion puts your mind at rest.
Because it's complete. Because we, okay, same thing. With how do I, peace of mind, find direction, get things to move. Things are moving all around you. When chaos is happening, things are moving. And it's not just I need a trial to get me through, but what is that trying of my faith teaching me? And this is what God showed me. Take it the next level. Take it the next step. We sing a little song, reach a little higher, dig a little deeper, or dig a little deeper, reach a little higher. Spirit of the Lord will set your soul on fire if you'll just dig a little deeper and reach a little higher. And when we think I am, as the word says, I am complete in him, rest comes into your mind. Because you're not, you know, you were back at the Garden of Eden and the serpent saying, if you do this, what you're lacking and missing will be complete. And then I say all the time, Adam and Eve didn't become embarrassed because they were naked. Mm-hmm. They felt it was them feeling disobedient to God that made them feel inadequate. Yeah. And what made them feel bad? Eating the apple, knowing they had disobeyed God, feeling that sense of I'm no longer complete in Him. I allowed that to distract me. Knowing we are complete in our minds, we are. How do we walk in the Spirit? It's simple. I trust in the Lord. How do we walk fully? When James 1, what is it bringing us to? I'm complete in Christ. I lack nothing. In everything that's coming into my life is a friend to me. It's working on my behalf. I have no. How do we not live in fear when there's trying of your faith? How do we not live in fear when your faith's being tried? You don't know what the outcome is going to be. And yet we're told not to be afraid. Well, how do we do that? By our understanding, I am complete in Him who is the head of all things that are taking place. Everything is working on my behalf. When the king's strong men threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace, and this is what we've been talking a lot about, they saw the other side of the flame. Mm-hmm. God wants to show you the other side. He wants more than we even want to elevate us, to take us someplace that we don't know we're even supposed to go. But we're upset with God because He won't do this one thing. He won't fix this one thing, knowing that, like Shadrach, Meshach, what if they said, okay, we give up. We've come to this point. We've walked this far. I mean, the next thing is we're in the fire and that's the end. But they didn't. They said, listen, God, our God, it's like saying, my God, His way is perfect. He's going to deliver us. But nonetheless, my mind is set that I am complete in Him. I have nothing to fear. God has ordained my steps, and He will. He can, and He will. You only get to that place when you know I am complete. God is leading me in the way I should go. No weapon, no enemy, no power formed against me will prosper. And anything comes into my life, it's going to have to serve to my purpose. Man, that's the mind that is the mind of the Spirit that isn't hostile against God. Totally. I mean, Adam and Eve's actions were hostile to God, not because there was poison in the fruit, but because they were mindful that they disobeyed God. They felt that nakedness. They felt uncertain simply because they lost trust in God. I am complete in you. You've given me all things. And that's the mind. And I know that's what you've walked in when we were talking about that time. And I remember saying, hey, let's not get through this and make it better. Let's go beyond it and make it different. God wants to do a new thing. Let's make it different.
And it changed me. I mean, on that particular project, there were so many things that would, any single project, any single movie could shut it down a movie. There were so many things that happened on this, and it was just like, oh my gosh, one thing after another after another. And baptism by fire, I was young. I was the only one of responsibility in the country at the time, because everyone else I worked with, I'd be back in the States for certain reasons. But looking back, coming out on the other side of that, I wouldn't trade that experience for the world. And I think so many times in life, that's the same thing. We go through these terrible things. We go, make it stop, make it stop, make it stop. And then once you get through and you know, okay, I'm all right, I survived, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm really glad that happened.
Yeah.
And I think it's like, that's what you're saying, the other side. If we can see the other side before we go there, I used to use as an example teaching my kids this kind of principle. And I said, this kind of, and this is a funky example, but I said, if you were to have someone knock on the door and you open the door and it was someone in a scary ghost costume with a scary ghost mask, you'd have every right to be afraid. You know, it'd be like, what's this person doing here? You know? But I said, if before there was a knock on that door, you worked by the window and you saw me out in the yard putting on this scary thing and putting on this mask and walked up and then I knocked on the door, you'd open the door and start giggling.
Yeah.
Because you saw what was on the other side. Yeah. And I think it's that understanding. So it's so many times, I know for me, my greatest journey in growth and that idea is really believing at the end of the day that God is good. And that if God is good, if you can believe that, which everything about the Bible, despite what I think so many times a lot of Christians in the church have tried to teach people that God isn't good, but God is good, you know, that once you go operate from that basis, that's that foundation of understanding that, you know, I can trust what's on the other side, even if I can't see it, even if I don't know what it is, that is definitely working in my good. So therefore, then you start to, I don't want to say necessarily look forward to things going wrong or going bad, but I think of Elijah and the prophets of Baal when it wasn't good enough to just let's do a miracle. It's like, let's make this miracle as hard as possible. Let's pour the water on it. Let's drench this wood. Let's make it so hard. And how many times in our own lives are we willing to do that? Or so what God does is say, here, I'm going to pour some water on this to make the fire even hotter, to give you the opportunity to believe, to make it so much more impressive, to make it so much more amazing. And we're saying no, no, no. Yeah. And so I know a lot of my own maturity has come through the idea of really just going, okay, God, you've got it so much more than me. It's not about how I want things to be. It's really about how you want it to be. And that's so much more than I can ever know to ask or think.
Well, there's the, and that's the whole point. Play the whole, sing the whole song.
Yeah.
Put your mind at rest. Say the whole word. God has made me complete. God is so good. Perfect analogy. God is so good. My God, His way is perfect. And He's so good in all of His ways. And here's the thing. We're wanting to go, you know, halfway on the trip. And God's saying, I want to take you from point A to point B, not so the trip is over, but so you start a brand new journey that shows you there's so much more to who you are than you even know. Only God knows the intentions of His purpose on the inside of you. And if His limits in our lives are to the end of our wishes, then we get to that point and it's over and the journey, the joy, the revelation is over. All we know is what we're capable of doing and what we want done. We have no idea what the mind of God is, and that's what this scripture is saying. Our thoughts can be hostile towards God. Not that you're trying to be hostile, but when you're not trusting in the Lord, you know, Adam and Eve felt ashamed, and I say all the time, they weren't ashamed because they were naked, because they had been naked all along, and they were fine with it. But they felt naked because they became ashamed. And why did they become ashamed? Because they thought they were missing something, so they tried another route. So we'll fight someone to the death, you know, as it were. We'll try to intellectually overcome them, or try to over-preach or overpower them with the scriptures, instead of living that testimony of sometimes just being at peace, that the Spirit of the Lord, just peace on you. David, I think that Goliath was shaking in his boots way more than David, maybe not as much as the army at that time, because they were afraid of him, but I think Goliath felt the intimidation of God's Spirit. I know he did, because of what he said to David. You're trying to make fun of me? You know, he became overwhelmed with that sense of confidence in David. It got under his skin. And his faith overwhelmed his intimidation. It's the same thing in the world. My faith in God, your faith will overwhelm that situation. If God didn't take it out, it's because it's a part of what he wants to use to get you. It's a tool. It's an advantage. It's something to help us think, the mind. Set your mind on things above. You know, I've preached in huge crowds and little crowds and tiny crowds, and one thing God taught me especially when COVID hit and we're here talking to the camera, and even prior to that, God told me one day, he said, I want you to try to build anything. All I want you to do is listen. I don't want you to try and build anything. And in ministry, I'm so thankful for the word God reveals. I tell people all the time, I just listen, but my heartbeat is I want to reach the entire world. I just feel like this will change, like you said, this will change the world. But God taught me how to minister to heaven. And the word says the angels desire to look into the things that God reveals to us by faith, because they don't have the same kind of faith in the kingdom that we have here. So Jesus said it's important that all creation sees me through faith. So here's your opportunity, not only to, if you will, impress the world by being a witness for me, but I'm going to impress you and show you I'm way more in you than you realize. There's more of me in you than you realize there is. So trust me. And when you take on that mindset, God is so good. He's just so good. And anything that's going to happen in my life is going to turn out so good. And this is necessary. That trying time turns into something else. It doesn't feel like that. I know here in the ministry, when, you know, the last few years was so trying for the world, and it was for everybody. Everyone had that trying time. But we came to the point with this understanding that we said, man, this season, and we were praying for people. We knew people were dying, people were sick, and we were praying and believing for them. But we found in that time a sense of expectation that was greater than before the chaos hit, because we learned to use a part of our, we learned to sing the song all the way through.
Yes.
From beginning to end, I'm lacking nothing, I'm not going to miss anything. And we saw God increase us in that time where the world was in chaos, more than any other time where things were really, even really moving and happening, because it's about the foundation of our mind. I've set my mind on things above, and if Christ is for me, and he is, nothing can be against me. All things work together for good. And it eliminates the enemy. David didn't have an enemy in Goliath. What he had was a trophy standing in front of him. No, and he just said, you're going to fall to the word of the Lord. And it was. And it's the same thing in your life that you've said, my life, my family's life, people's life. Everything is going to bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And what did he say? I'm going to make you those examples. I'm going to use you. And in the world that we're in today, I think it's one of the most opportune times to say it, see it, and seize it. This is what God said. I'm going to say it. I see it in my heart and my mind. I'm going to seize it, not by might or power, but according to his word that is in me. I'm missing nothing. I'm going to sing the song all the way through. I'm going to say I am complete, so my mind comes to rest. When you said that,
wow.
And I remember I told you,
yeah.
I'm not telling you what we're talking about, but it came out of your mouth. It's amazing how that union comes. And what I thought is, I want God to say something through Steve, him not knowing anything that's going on. I'm pulling on the Spirit of the Lord for inspiration. You not knowing anything, you sat down here before we started the segment, and you talked about our song looping in your mind. I don't even remember how we got there.
I don't even know how we got on the subject either.
And when you said it, I went, there it is. There it is. Before we even started. So cool. If you will trust God, God will show you something. He'll open your mind. He'll open your heart. He'll open a way in ways you wouldn't have imagined. It'll be way better than if it worked out the way we asked him to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I just finished up a documentary project. And again, not every project's different. Everything has its own reasons for being, too, of the challenges we might face or things we might consider challenges. But I think also part of adopting this mindset and embracing it and having our being transformed by the renewing of our minds, you know, is that those things that I don't know if the trials ever go away or if it's just you no longer see them to the magnitude of what they are and you see them for the purpose for what they are. And so if you see something as a purpose, so it's like I played football growing up and I played in college, and you could see sometimes they talk about this game is a test or this game is an opportunity. And it's like if you're going against some people go, we're playing a really hard team. And so, no, we're going to be tested. Or somebody goes, no, I can't wait. This is the greatest opportunity because I get to play at the highest level. And again, it's just your mindset of how you approach it. But what I was going to say was I just did a project where I was under an immense time pressure to do this documentary I was working on. But God was so amazing, and I felt like he was speaking to me. And he actually had shared a word through you not too long ago about the swiftness of thinking. And every inspired thought, and this is the unique of this project, but on this project, every inspired thought I'd tried was the first time was the right thought. Every time, like, trust. I had to find a bunch of stock music to put in this, and every time I found the exact right piece the very first time, and when I'd lay it in, it was as if this piece was composed for where things would happen on screen. And I'd never heard this music before. I'm just randomly finding it on a website. And it was like God laid out everything because, and I feel like he could have done it in my ignorance, but I also felt like I don't like the word attuned. It sounds kind of weird, new agey, but I mean, I was attuned. I mean, I felt like I was hearing. I was prophetically hearing for him and the choices that I make without, and it was just natural.
And that's prophetic. Again, I sat down and what was in my mind is God, I want you. I mean, we come prepared, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, O King James. And I thought, I want you to show up at the table through Steve. I want you to say something. I don't need you to confirm so I know that I'm on track. I want you to show up in a way unexpected, unanticipated, exceeding abundant and above. And you started it with what you said. And then what you're finishing it off right now by saying, God showed up through my mouth when my head couldn't wrap itself around what was going to happen. But I had confidence God is going to speak through me, and he did, and it came together. And here's in closing, I know we're running out of time here. For God to compose a symphony that is something that he brings through us that is going to, I said it, I believe it was last Sunday, where when things happen, it's not an oops, it's an awe. Not oops, that messed up, but it's an awe. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whoops, it wasn't an oops, it was an awe. God showed us the other side of the flame, and it blessed us. There's another side to what's going on. But that God would write that symphony through you, whatever that symphony may be for those that are viewing tonight, that won't feel like an oops, it will feel like an awe. And when things start happening, the perspective of I'm already complete before this unfolds. It's the door scenario you brought up. You know, they see dad, and maybe instead of you going boo, they boo you.
Right. Exactly.
Maybe you jump instead of them.
Exactly.
You know, like I came up to my daughter the other day and I just grabbed her and she jumped and I said, maybe I'm sorry. If she'd heard my voice, if she'd heard my steps, it wouldn't have been as startling. If you hear the steps of God, how do I do that? What the word says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. My wife's a huge worshiper. She loves to worship, and God discerns and says the most incredible things through her, sometimes in just the most casual of ways that I just sit there and I'm astounded, because my wife is a worshiper. She loves to worship, and she's constantly saying, I love him so much. God's so good. And you said it, God is so good. Sitting right here saying, I'm not going to tell you what we're talking about. I worshiped God because I heard God say through you something I didn't say to you. I didn't, you know, I didn't suggest anything. I didn't insert a theme or an idea. Just came up here, and at least twice I've heard God speak through you, confirming to me what I wanted to talk about, you not aware, before we started and then after we started, which is all you are complete in Him who is the head of all principalities, authorities, and powers. No weapon formed against you is ever going to bother you. As a matter of fact, it's not really a weapon. It's a tool for your future. It's the power of God working prophetically in your life. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean into your own understanding. Don't expect it to work out the way you want it. Let God show you the other side of the flame. It's greater than you could imagine. It's bigger than you would build. It's beyond what you would know to think or ask. And God's present with you doing that right now. Trust in the Lord. Be thankful. Say of the Lord, I am complete in Him. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And say at the end, it says only goodness, and the literal translation is only good will happen to me, and I'll dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. Steve, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I knew it would be a blast.
I was excited by the fact we didn't know what we were going to talk about. That you wouldn't tell me that. I just love that. I love delving into the deeper things of God, and I love learning, and I've learned so much from you over the years and continue to do so to this day. And it's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be part of your church and your under your ministry. And I'm thankful for you and Donna and your family and your whole team and everything that you guys have sown into us over the years.
Praise God. Thank you. And you are to us too. You know, you've been a part, and you've remained a part and remained connected, and God's using you. But this is what I know, it's only just begun. You know, we've had our finger, felt like it was just right there, but God's saying, now do this, now step out of the boat and walk, but this time you're not going to sink because you learned the first time what not to do. Step in the fire with more confidence, knowing, tell the king, I'm coming out. I say this all the time. The king looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he said, come out. And I see it like this, the king saying, can you come out? And them saying, we can come out, O king, but can you come in? And that's what God's saying to the world today. Go in where God's called you, and then say to the world, we can come out. We can live here, we can live there, but can you live here? And God said He'd make us a witness. And I know that is just beginning for you and your family. Great and mighty things that not only you have asked for or believed for, but that exceed your imagination. So God bless you and your family. Thank you, Steve. Thank you for joining us tonight. This is the greatest season of your life, and the altar is always open for your support. I encourage you, sow a seed tonight. Your support means a great deal to this ministry. It helps us do what we're doing tonight. And God's increase is beyond imagination. And honor the Lord with your gift and your giving. We thank you for your faithfulness and for being a part, whether you're here on Sundays or you watch and you pray and support. Your prayers mean a great deal to us as well. We love you. We appreciate you. Even though we don't know you, I know you're a part of what God's doing, and we're doing it together by faith and confidence in who He is and by praise and honoring God. All right. Greatest season of your life. Go out with a prophetic shout. Until next time. God bless. Ooh.